Matthew 5 is where we'll go this morning in our Bible, so find that familiar passage. Matthew chapter 5, first book in your New Testament, fifth chapter, and some very, very familiar verses for you, 14, 15, and 16. We've drawn messages from this text before. God gives us life and breath and health, and we stay here. I'm sure we'll draw messages from this text again. It's one of those deep, deep wells that you cannot exhaust. Amen. Let's stand together, please, in honor of these scriptures, in honor of the Word of God. We're going to read responsively. Me and I'll read verse 14 to 16. Please join me on verse 15 now. Reading Matthew 5, 14. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. Dear Father, thank you for this portion of the Word of God. Now, you said all Scripture was given by inspiration and by your very breath and is profitable, Lord. I pray that it will profit us this morning. Lord, I pray that it will be based upon your Word. Biblical preaching is the only kind of preaching that pleases you and profits man. So, Lord, our time would be in vain this morning to discuss some magazine article, some book written by mere man. But we come with the eternal living words of God this morning. And I pray that you'll open our hearts to them. Lord, please speak to us and we'll thank you for it. Give us a good song to enjoy and then, Lord, a message that'll help us. In Christ's name, amen. Thank you. Be seated.
When I enter heaven's glory, and I see my Savior's face, I will offer Him 10,000 years of praise. Then I'll find that special one in whose life I saw God's Son, and through tears of joy with trembling lips these words I could hear His voice in the words you said, I saw Jesus in you. In your eyes I saw His care, I could see His love was there. You were faithful, and I saw Jesus in you. Life's reward, and my soul is bathed in God's eternal day. When this race on earth is run, and God sees the works I've done, more than anything I long to hear my Father say, I saw Jesus in you, I saw Jesus in you. I could hear His voice in the words you said, I saw Jesus in you. In your eyes I saw His care, I could see His love was there. You were faithful, and I saw
Jesus in you. You were faithful, and I saw Jesus in you.
Thank you, folks. That good song goes along a little bit with what I want to speak on this morning. I'm going to draw your attention to verse 16. We'll refer to the other verses in the passage 14 and 15, but I'm going to spend most of the morning in that verse 16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Speaking on the subject, so shine the light. Let your light so shine. So shine the light. Dear Father, thank you for the good song we just heard. We do pray that when we get to heaven, someone will have seen the Lord Jesus in all of our lives. And Lord, I pray that you'll help this message to tie in with that this morning, with that thought. Give me clarity of thought, Lord, clarity of speech. May there be liberty in this auditorium and building to preach your word. Pray, dear God, that we'd be able to concentrate on what is said. Lord, we'd put aside the concerns from yesterday that might be lingering, the concerns that maybe are approaching for tomorrow, Tuesday, the west breast of the work week. Lord, help us for a little while this morning to cast aside all of those concerns and think solely upon your word. May your spirit have access to our heart this morning. And Holy Spirit, may you have control of this service. We'll thank you in Jesus' name. And amen. Matthew 5, 6, 7 contain one of the greatest sermons Jesus ever preached while he was on planet Earth. The message is better known as the Sermon on the Mount. If you've been saved for some time, you've read the Bible, you've heard messages and heard this part of the Bible referred to as the Sermon on the Mount. It is interesting to me in its content collectively because it is a practical message. Now, one of the greatest messages that Jesus preached has very little, if any, theological doctrine in it. Most of it deals with the practical doings of Christianity. Again, not much of the theological doctrines of Christianity in this message. More of a whole lot of the practical doings of Christianity. He's at the beginning of his preaching and teaching ministry among those that are following him, and he's going to give them messages basically on what they should do. Now that's interesting to me. What they should believe will come later, and of course that's important because what we believe influences what we do. But you know, in this message, he did not fill their heads with theological doctrine. He guided and regulated their practice, the doings of their Christianity, and this is in the very early days. It's interesting to me because there are certain groups and sometimes people within a church like this who believe that you should not, you take people who are newly saved, people who are new to church, and you should not do anything with them for 3 or 4 years. You should not put them to work. You should not engage them in any kind of Christian service until they have a full understanding of all the theological doctrines of Christianity. This kind of blows that to shreds, doesn't it? Amen? I mean, Jesus is telling them what to do before they got a good grip theologically on what they believe. By the way, I think that's important. I think it's very important. Another passage, Jesus made it very clear that if you will do the will of God, you will understand the doctrine. It's kind of opposite what man has come up with. Man has come up with this idea that you can't do anything until you understand. Jesus put it just the opposite. But the Bible ruins our practice sometimes, doesn't it, huh? Especially our religion. You'll understand. So get busy serving God and watch the windows of heaven open to your understanding. Amen? That's what he's saying. So now, this is a whole lot of the practical doings of Christianity. Part of the Lord's practical guidelines for these lives included using light as an illustration of their testimony. Your testimony is like light. Okay, that's what he's saying, is what he's teaching them about here. He's using light as an illustration of their testimony. Verse number 14, he says, ye are the light of the world. It's very clear here that Jesus is speaking to those that multitude or that group of people that is seated at his feet. And he says to them, you are the light of the world. Now, hold your finger in Matthew 5. We're coming back, but let's look for a second and try to ascertain what this means. Look at John chapter 8. John chapter 8. What does it mean, this light of the world? What is light? What about us is light? Well, look at John chapter 8 and verse number 12. John chapter 8 and verse number 12. Here Jesus is speaking. The Bible says, I'll give you just a second to find it there because I want you to see this. We're going to go to a couple other places before we get back to Matthew 5. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. We have no argument with that, do we? He is the light of the world, all right? He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, watch this, but shall have the light of life. The light of life. The light of life. But Jesus makes it clear that only those who are following Him, those who have repented, believed on Him, and walking in His precepts, they have the light of life. Okay? Look at John chapter 1. Turn back a few pages. John chapter 1 and verse number 4. John chapter 1 and verse number 4. This is talking about Jesus Christ. We can actually begin at verse 1. John 1, 1. In the beginning was the Word, capital W. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jehovah's Witnesses come knocking on your door this week, and they want to tell you that Jesus was just a good teacher, just a good preacher, just another prophet. Say, what does John 1, 1, 2 mean, huh? The Bible says the Word was God. That's talking about Jesus. How do I know who the Word is? Look down at verse number 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt amongst us. Who is that? That's Jesus Christ. So that's it. Jesus Christ is not just the Son of God. He is God the Son. You say, why? What's important about it? Oh, it's very, very important. Very, very important. It means He's deity. It means He is God. Okay? Not just a prophet or a good teacher. He is God. Okay? Look at chapter 1, verse number 4. In Him was life. Let me ask you a question. What kind of life is in Jesus Christ? Eternal. Eternal life is in Jesus Christ, okay? He was with the Father from the beginning. He'll be with the Father throughout eternity future. There wasn't a day when Jesus was created. There was a day when Jesus became a little baby and walked on planet Earth, but Jesus always was. Okay? So in Him was life, eternal life, okay? Now look at verse number 4. And the life, eternal life, was the light of men. Eternal life was the light of men. Eternal life is in Jesus, and that is light, that creates light. So when we get saved, we receive the light of eternal life. If you're a born-again child of God this morning, when you got saved, you received the light of eternal life. Okay? Look at Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 8. Find that place, if you would. Please turn to your right several books in the New Testament. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 8. He says here, Paul writing to the church at Ephesus, "For ye were sometimes darkness in the past." He's talking about, in the past ye were darkness. But now, present tense, are ye light in the Lord. You're light, the light of eternal life. So look at what he says. As a result of that, walk as children of light, as opposed to children of darkness. Do you get the picture here, friend? When you're unsaved, you have no light in you. You are darkness. When you get saved, you get eternal life. That eternal life is light. Now, I have the same light that Jesus Christ possesses. I've got eternal life. The truth of the matter is, when we got saved, we got lit up. Now, some of us used to get lit up the wrong way. Amen? But when you got saved, you got lit up a good way. You got lit up the right way. You've got eternal life. You possess the light of eternal life. You've got eternal life, light residing in you. Now, don't get too excited. I mean, you've just got, you know, you just got eternal life living in you. You're just going to go to heaven. Don't get too excited. You're going to go to heaven and live forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. But you certainly don't want to go, you know, don't get overboard about that. You know, no, if the Bears score or the Cubs or Sox win, now that's worth getting excited about. But we wouldn't dare want to say anything about having eternal life residing in us. We sure wouldn't want to be excited about that, you know, because that might scare people away. Huh? That might make people nervous. Can I suggest to you, friend, that's a pretty good thing to get excited about, amen? If you're born again, you're going to live forever and ever. And by the way, everybody's going to live forever and ever and ever. But if you're born again, you're going to live forever and ever and ever and ever in that place called heaven, amen? Sure, that's right. That's right. This is the light of life. We got lit up when we got saved. I mean, we have the light of eternal life indwelling in our bodies. The light of eternal life. Jesus possessed it, and the life was the light of men. And when we got saved, we became partakers of that same light. We were once walking as dark people in darkness, but now are we light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. No wonder Jesus said, "Ye are the light of the world." Amen. All right, now back to Matthew chapter 5. Kind of give you an idea of what kind of light we're talking about. The light of eternal life. Now, he said in verse number 16, "Let your light so shine before men." Allow the light of eternal life residing in us to shine. Allow the light of eternal life residing in us to shine. Now, a couple of things before I get into the bulk of the message. I think there is collective light. He said in verse number 14, "Ye are the light of the world." He's talking to a group of people here, and he says, "A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid." Now, you understand that where Jesus is on a mountain. Verse number 1. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain. Okay, so he's in a mountain. He's on a mountain. That's not hard to do in Jerusalem, friend. Jerusalem is built in a mountain range. Okay, very mountainous area. Mountains all around. In Bible days, many of the cities were built into the sides of mountains, built on the tops of mountains to give that advantage that would go with that as far as defense and everything goes. It was hard to hide a city. A city that is set on a hill could be easily seen. Now, that's how a collective bunch of God's people ought to be. A collective bunch of God's people, a collective assembly of God's people ought to be hard to overlook. If a church is what it should be, there is no way for a community not to notice it. You understand what I'm saying? If a church is what it should be, the community has to notice a collective bunch of light shiners. You can't hide the right kind of church. It makes a difference in the community. It may be the kind of thing that Brother Mike Johnson talked about. You know, where do you go to church? I go to Faith Baptist Church. Oh, it may be that. But that statement in itself tells you that the community doesn't overlook the church. There ought to be knowledge. There ought to be acknowledgement in the community. Oh yeah, we know about that Faith Baptist Church. We see the park. I've had somebody say to me a couple weeks ago, "I'm visiting," said, "That's where the parking lot is always full." I like that. So the park is something that's going on there. You visit. Oh yeah, I know that church. I see the buses. I hear the radio program. Somebody knocked on my door. Somebody gave me a tract. That's happened over and over again. The community ought to notice. It'd be a sad thing if a church could reside in a community and the community not know anything about it. Oh, where is that? You mean that church? How long? They must just moved in. Oh no, they've been there 20 years. What? Something's wrong. It's hard to hide a city that's set on a hill. It cannot be hid. Can't do it. And you get a collective bunch of light shiners who have the light of eternal life in them, residing in them. If they're living according to Bible principles, that light's going to shine. You can't hardly dim. You can't not notice it. It's there. But he's not only talking about collective light. He's talking about personal light. Personal light. Verse number 15. He says this, "Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel." Well, that's obvious. Power went out at our house. By the time I got home from the Thursday night service, Hannah was at the house. She was planning to go back to Elgin that night and getting ready to leave. And somebody called her and said, "Don't come. It's flooding up here and there's disaster and thunderstorms and more on the way. You better stay down there." And by the time we got home, the power was out. She had candles all over the house. Power was out for 44 hours. I met a lady yesterday out visiting. Her power was out 3 days, 72 hours. Now, when you light a candle, when the power's out, you light a candle, you don't put a bucket over it. In fact, you don't put it on the floor. You light a candle, you put it in an elevated position in the house. You put it on the mantle. You put it somewhere where it's lifted up. And the light of that candle sheds a bright. It sheds light, okay? All that are in the house can see it. When I walked into that power outage in the house a couple Thursday nights ago, I could see the candles, very easily seen. Now, all that are in the house see it. That's me and you. That's our individual, personal light. In our homes, in our places of employment, where we do business, your light, my light, it goes with us wherever we go, and it ought to shine. God did not give us the light of eternal light for us to cover it up with a bushel basket. Just so you know, I could have a personal relationship with God and nobody else needs to know anything about it. Huh? I don't think that's why God put the light of eternal life in you. I don't think that's why God put the light of eternal life in me, so I could just have a sweet little time with God and never shine. Oh, no, no, no. You don't light a candle and stick a bucket over it. You light a candle and put it up where it gives light. This is the personal responsibility of light shining. We got the collective responsibility of light shining. We got the personal responsibility of light shining in these verses. But here's what I want to spend the time this morning. Verse number 16, let your light so shine. This is individual now, I believe. It's not personal. The individual personal responsibility I have to let my light shine. You have to let your light shine. Okay? Let your light so shine. Let me make some observations this morning. Number one, I don't know if you ever thought about this. Light makes no noise. Light makes no noise. How many of you heard dawn break this morning? We talk about the break of dawn. I've never heard dawn break, have you? Never heard that. No. Light is noiseless. It has no voice. It makes no speeches. It has no declarations. If you get up early in the morning and it's still dark outside and you want to see the sunrise, you want to see dawn break, if you will, you better not get busy around the house and lose your concentration. You get busy around the house and all of a sudden, oh yeah, I want to, and you look outside and it's light. Dawn's already broken. There was no noise. There was no trumpet. There was no declaration. Hear ye, hear ye. It's about to be light. Nothing like that. It's noiseless. You will miss it if you're not watching for it. Now you say, okay, what does this, how does this apply to this scripture right here? I'm going to say this morning. What we say as Christians is important. We have a responsibility to be a verbal witness. We have a responsibility to make sure that our speech is seasoned with grace. Why? Because people are listening. But hear me, friend. Don't miss this. This is so crucial in my opinion. A little bit of wrongdoing can upset a whole huge apple cart of right talking. I say that again. A little bit of wrongdoing can upset a whole huge apple cart of right talking. Our actions speak louder than our words. If truth of the matter is, sometimes where our words can be offensive, our actions will not be. And that's the truth. If you don't think that a little bit of wrongdoing can upset a whole huge apple cart of right talking, just ask this senator from Idaho. You can talk all you want to about, you know, conservative social issues. It's supposed to be one of the standard bearers for social conservatism in American Republican Party and conservative on all these family values. I suggest to you that if he's guilty of what they say he's guilty of, that kind of discredits all that talk. Sure does. You can talk all you want to, friend, but if you don't have something there to back it up, those words are meaningless. His actions have literally taken on a much louder voice than his words, haven't they? The same is true with us. You can talk all you want to, but you better have something to back it up. Look over at Philippians chapter 2. Hold your place in Matthew 5. We're going to come back there. But look at Philippians chapter 2, if you would. Again, over in the epistles where Paul wrote, Philippians chapter 2, verse number 14. Philippians chapter 2, verse number 14. Here's an interesting scripture. Paul writing to the church at Philippi. Philippians 2 and verse 14 in your New Testament, okay? Hope you found it because we're reading now. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. What's the first word in verse number 14? Do. do. You kind of get the idea that what we do here, the complaining and the muttering and the murmuring of our mouths tarnishes our actions. So Paul says, do what's right. Do things right. That what you do, how you carry on your doing, and doing it without complaining, do it without murmuring, do it without griping, do it with a good spirit, will cause you to shine as lights in the world. Light has no noise. Look, I don't think this means for one second that we have no responsibility to verbally witness for Jesus Christ. I think you do an injustice to the rest of the Bible if you surmise that from this passage. But I do believe with all my heart that all the witnessing in the world I can do with my mouth can be shot to pieces by life. That's not backed up by Scripture. Amen, church. Kind of important what we do. Kind of important how we conduct ourselves. Kind of important how we behave. Kind of important how we pay our bills. Well, amen. Kind of important how we behave at the grocery store. Kind of important how we drive down. Kind of important. Because we can yak, 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 yak. And by the way, that's true collectively. We can talk all we want to about what we are as a church. But if the lives of the members of this church, this man included, don't back up, aren't backed up from the Word of God, we're kind of shooting ourselves in the foot. Amen. Amen, that's right. Light has no noise. Now back to Matthew chapter 5. Quickly, verse number 16. Look at something else here, number 2. Our actions are avenues through which our light can move. Our actions are avenues through which this light of eternal life can move. Look at what he says in verse number 16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. Did you see what he said? Jesus said your good works are the avenues through which this life moves. Hey, look. Somebody says, open the window and let the light in. Now, let me ask you a question. Does the light create light? Does the window create light? Does the window create light? No. The window what? Lets light in. We don't have any windows in this auditorium because we didn't want any natural light to get in here, because sometimes we have programs and plays. You have a cloudy day, a sunny day, and you can't regulate. If you have windows, it's hard to regulate the light that's outdoors. The windows just allow the light that's out there to come in. Now, you know what my actions are? You know what your actions are? Actions don't create light. The light of eternal life is in you, in me, now that we're saved. But our actions are the window. Our actions are the avenues through which that light shines forth. You got to have actions. You got to have that good works. The light is in us. The light of eternal life. That light needs an avenue to travel through. That's what our actions are. They're like windows, though they don't create light. They allow light to come in. Our actions allow the light that is in us to travel out so that others may see it and take notice. Hey, remember the man Joseph down in Egypt when he was sold into slavery? Remember that? Remember when he ended up at Potiphar's house there? And he became the head of all Potiphar's servants. You reckon Joseph walked in and said, Potiphar, you need to make me the boss. Because I believe in Jehovah God. And because I believe in Jehovah God, I'm going to act like this and do this. I'm going to treat you right and make sure everybody does their job. And I believe this and I believe that. And heck, 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 heck. So you need to make me the boss. You think that's what Joseph did? I don't think so. I think Joseph went in. God was with him. The light of eternal life in his bosom. He began to work and serve, hey, in circumstances that were less than ideal. And by the way, if all we have is actions that are good when circumstances are ideal, we're pretty shallow people. He began to serve. He began to work. And you know what Potiphar did? He stood back and he began to what? Take notice. There's something about this young man. There's something about his work ethic. There's something about his character. There's something about his attitude. There's something about his spirit. He's different. He's different from all my other servants. Hey, Joseph, come in here. I want to talk to you. Listen, I've been watching you, and I got a responsibility I want you to take for me. I want you to be the overseer of all the men who work for me. Well, then he got put in prison. Pharaoh's prison, where the king's prisoners are. You think he walked into the jailer and said, okay, Mr. Jailer, here I am. Now, I have been the head of all Pharaoh's servants, but I'm here now, and all Potiphar's servants, and I'm here now, and you ought to make me the head of your jail. I'll take care of everything. I'll hold responsibility. I'll work hard. I'll make sure all the other inmates are in line, and you ought to really put me in that position. You think that's what he did? That's not what he did. What he did was he went to work in the jail as an inmate. Again, in less than ideal circumstances. Something about his spirit, something about his attitude, something about his character, something about his person that had some shine to it. And pretty soon, Pharaoh's prison, the prison warden there, his warden over the prison is saying, you know what, bring me Joseph, bring me that Hebrew boy. There's something different about him. God was with him. Now, friend, listen very carefully. That's what I'm talking about. Our actions are avenues through which the light travels. There ought to be something. I am so bothered by a Christianity that makes no difference between the world and Christianity. Our actions, everything about us is an avenue through which eternal life shines. Shines, sure it is. And by the way, I say again, Joseph was in the most difficult of personal circumstances, but sometimes those are the things that allow the light to shine brightest. We don't want the hard times. We don't want the difficulties. Stop. Hold on. Time out. It very well could be. The difficulty is not for you. It could be that the difficulty is for your unsaved relative, or your neighbor who's on his way to hell, or your coworker who's on his way to hell. And God's going to put a difficulty in your life, and you allow the light of eternal life to shine in spite of the difficulty, and your neighbor goes. And your relative goes. Sure. That's how some of the folks that are in this church got saved. Yeah, their kids got saved. Their kids got saved through the ministry, and the light of eternal life got in those little children. They went home, they began to be different kids. They began to act differently and respond differently. And pretty soon, mom starts showing up, and then dad takes an interest. For long, mom's saved, dad saved, everybody's in church. Well, you know, kind of works. We don't want hardships. We don't want personal difficulties. We want all of our life to be greased and just a smooth sailing, you know. But that's, friend, that's not what God has designed for us. Many times, it's not the personal difficulties, not for us. It's for those around us who are just going to take notice when that light shines. Are you listening this morning? Our actions are avenues through which our light moves so that men may see. See. Not here. Oh, yeah, I know what he talks. See, I know how he walks. Okay? See, that's a big difference. Light has no noise. Our actions are avenues through which light travels. Let me say number three this morning. Listen carefully. Our light should shine in a special manner. Our light should shine in a special manner. Let your light shine. What's the next two words? So shine. Let me ask you a question. Would I do an injustice to this verse if I left that word so out? You say, oh, no. It doesn't, it's not that. There's only two letters, S and O. Okay, well, how about John 3:16? Would I be doing an injustice to John 3:16 if I quoted it like this, for God loved the world? Somebody said, oh, no, that's wrong. You forgot that little word. So for God Sola. You know what that means? He loved, don't miss this, he loved the world in a special way. A unique way. And what was that? How did he love the world in a unique way? That he gave His only begotten Son. That's how uniquely God so loved the world. And I'm thankful He did. Amen. I'm thankful He so loved me enough to give His Son Jesus for this unworthy, hell-deserving, vile, wicked sinner. He so loved me. And so loved you to give His Son Jesus to go through all the experience of Calvary, bearing His own body our sins upon the tree, shed every drop of His blood, die, be buried, come out of that grave after 3 days and three nights. He loved us that much. It's a special way, right? Special, special manner. Okay? So our light should not just shine. It should soul shine. In a special manner. Okay? So that men may see your good works. Watch this. And glorify your Father which is in heaven. Lost people can live such a life that causes people to say, that's a good man. You know anybody like that? My neighborhood out there in the country is filled with them. Guys who are unbelievers as far as Jesus Christ goes, but they're good people. But Jesus said, that's not what He wants from you and me. What He wants from you and me is a light that shines in such a way that people say, different. And may they may never say it with their mouth, but they say it with their thought. It speaks of God. It speaks of God. The way they conduct themselves in their business, the way they conduct themselves in their neighborhood, their spirit, their attitude, the smile on their face, the joy, the wave, the how are you this morning, do you need a hand? Walking circumspectly, honestly, so shine, so that the lost world goes, there's something God-like about that person. That's what He's saying here. That they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Listen, the light should not shine for the purpose of glorifying ourselves, but for Him. Now, lost people don't know how to verbalize that. Let me show you what I'm saying. Let me show you. I want all you kids, teenagers, and even if you're college age, in elementary school, I want all of you who go to Watsika for the orthodontist, to stand up. All of you. Stand up. If you go to Watsika for the orthodontist, stand up, 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 stand up. Look around. If you've been, Jake, you went there. Jake's home. Did anybody else in your family go there? Oh, Matthew's right there, yeah. Is he in your family? Okay, that's right. Yeah, I forgot. That's right. He didn't know his name a couple weeks ago. Amen. Now look around, folks. Are you looking at this? Okay? Anybody else had children who aren't here go to Watsika to the orthodontist? Dave, you did. Nada, you did. Beth, you did. Okay. Now listen to me. Our daughter's down there. My wife's down there with our daughter just a few days ago. And you guys don't mind standing just for a minute, okay? And they do all the checking. They have a consultation. You know, and this, this, and this. And Cherith is answering the questions. Yes. 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 Maybe a yes, sir. Yes. Yes. It's Dr. Rose, I believe. Dr. Rose. He says, yes. Yes, sir. Do I like that? So we don't hear that much. Where do you go to school? Faith Baptist Academy. Faith Baptist. We like the kids from Faith Baptist. We like the kids from Faith Baptist. By the way, the other partner in the practice came here at this these folks' invitation, McDonald's invitation, I believe. Now, do you know what that's called? He doesn't know how to say it. But that's called soul shining. Soul shining. If he's an unsaved man, he doesn't know, man, glory to God, what a change God has made in their life. But there's something about the behavior of you young people and those who've gone before you that says to those men, there's something different about that bunch of kids. By the way, parents, pay your bills on time. Please, that helps. Amen. And all the rest of you, take your kids down there, you've got a legacy to follow now. Thank you, kids. Be seated. I appreciate that. No, they're not all kids. They're young adults, too. I appreciate that. But that's what I'm talking about. Let me show you another thing. How many of you, men and boys, go to Earl's Barbershop for a haircut? Stand up. How many of you go to Earl's for a haircut? Stand up. Okay. And there are some that are not in here that used to go or go now. Jorge goes there. Okay, look around this boy. See? You know what you guys are? You're late on your payments, all right? No, I mean, the barbecue, no. You're so shining. That guy's cutting my hair. I tell you what, Pastor, is that I love the men of your church to come here. I love it. They're nice guys, they talk, they just, I don't know. Are you listening this morning? You're so shining. Thank you. Be seated. Earl, he really shuts it down when you try to get into salvation. He really shuts it down quick. Now, if you want to talk Cubs, he'll talk your ear off, man. But you start talking salvation, so he really shuts it down quick. But he's a good guy. But this is what I'm talking about. This is what I'm talking about. A light that, how can I say it? It's more than just what can be produced by good character. It's not just good character, it's God character. Y'all understand what I'm talking about? Isn't that what godliness is? Godliness is God-likeness. It's not just good. And by the way, this is what we want from our young people. We do want good character, but we want more than character just characterized as good. We'd like to have character that goes beyond good to God-like. Which is the same thing with an added light. An added shine. Something that stands out that you don't boldly walk in. Well, I'm a Christian Faith Baptist Church member, and I'm going to shine while I'm here. Y'all with me this morning, or am I all by myself? Is there a difference between goodliness and godliness? Huh? Sure there is. That's what I want. Whew. I want a faith that produces a godliness. And you know, it's in me. The light of eternal life is in there. I just need to let it out. Get out of the way. You know, if you don't want the light to come in, you've got to do something to keep it out. Right? So shine the light. I can say the same thing about you folks that have done business over here at this car dealership. Same thing, Brother Doyce. He just knows there's something a little bit different. Look, folks. So yeah, if what you're getting out of this is, well, you think your church is the only one, the only people who go, the only good people who go. No, that. You know, that's so insignificant. I'm not even going to address it. I'm just trying to get us. You know, my concern this morning isn't really outside of the four walls. It eventually gets out there, but my concern is right in here. That we live so that so shines the light. Not just goodliness, but godliness. Let me ask you a question this morning. Do you have the light of eternal life residing in you? Have you been saved? If you're not saved, you're walking in darkness. 2 Corinthians 4 talks about your heart being darkened. Once you get saved, the light of eternal life burst on your soul. If you're not saved, I trust that you'll come this morning. We'll have men over here and ladies over here with a Bible in their hand. And they're not going to show you what the Baptist Church teaches. They'll show you what the Bible says about being saved. And if you're not saved, and I'm not into these cliches of commitment and all, if you're not saved, if you haven't repented and believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, if you need to be saved, that's Bible terminology. Born again. You ought to be, when I give the opportunity, you ought to walk down. You walk down and, oh man, listen, people have walked down the aisle. I walked down a church aisle one day. Somebody showed me the Scriptures and I gave my heart to Jesus. I got saved. Okay? Now, if you don't have the light of eternal life in you, you've got the opportunity to receive Christ this morning. If you are saved, can I tell you again, us, actions speak louder than words. Our actions are the avenue through which the light moves. So shine. Not just goodliness, godliness. So that when they hear the music playing, well, that doesn't sound like rock and roll. That's different. Godly. A little bit something different than goodliness. So shine the light. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Thank you for listening this morning. I appreciate your attention. Let me ask a few questions. Who's here this morning? Brother Angel, the Spirit of God spoke to my heart. I long for that. I long for that God-likeness. I long for that so shine. That's a desire of my heart, I can honestly say. To so shine. Would be a desire of my heart. Would you lift your hand this morning if that's your heart's desire this morning? God bless you. Thank you. Take your hand down. Who would say, Pastor, you know, while you were talking this morning in the message, the Spirit of God kind of drew to my attention something that could be dimming the light. Maybe you have good character. But what Jesus is talking about here is more than goodliness. He's talking about godliness. So shine. Pastor, pray for me. I probably should. There's a couple things I need to work out, work on. The Spirit of God drew to my attention this morning, probably dimming the light, the shining. Pray for me. Would you raise your hand all over the room? God bless you. Thank you so much. Anybody here this morning, Brother Angel? I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I even have the light of eternal life in me. I don't know that I'm on my way to heaven. I don't know that I'm born again. I'm concerned about that. I don't know that I'm saved. Pray for me. Anybody like that? Would you lift your hand, please, wherever you're sitting? Be honest before God this morning, from side to side, front to back. Anybody like that? I see a couple of hands. God bless you. I see another hand. God bless you. Not sure that I'm saved. I'm sure that I'm on my way to heaven. Anybody else join these three, four? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If you look at me just for a minute, if you raise your hand just now, you don't know that you're saved. Look at me just for a minute. The most important thing in the world is to know that you're saved, that you're on your way to heaven. And what you ought to do this morning is come, let somebody show you from the Bible how to be saved. We have ladies right here. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If you're interested in that, why don't you come right now? Just step out down the aisle. These ladies will meet you right here. Brother Caleb will help you. That need a third lady. Elizabeth, please, if you would. Just take them aside somewhere and show them from the Bible what it says about being saved. The light of eternal life. If I'm unsaved, I'm walking in darkness. Once I get saved, I am a possessor of the light of life. Walk in that light. Shine that light. Pastor, pray for me. I've been saved, but not baptized since I've been saved. I've not been baptized since I've been saved. Pray for me. Would you raise your hand? Anybody like that this morning? Saved but not baptized. I see a couple of hands. God bless you. Teenagers that need permission. God bless you, sir. If you're interested in knowing what it means to be baptized, being obedient to Christ, following Him in believer's baptism, the invitation time, we'd love for you to come this morning. Let somebody show you from the Bible about being scripturally baptized. We'd love to do that. If you've been saved, baptized, visiting the church, you know this is where God wants you to join, be a member, and serve Him. You talk to us about that decision. We'd love to extend that invitation to you this morning as well. My dear Father, I thank You for Your book. God, please, we don't want to just shine. We want to so shine. We want to make an impact. We want to make a difference. We don't want to go through life with the light of eternal life residing in our body and living so that it absolutely shuts down. Nobody can see that life. Dear Spirit of God, draw us into a walk that so shines. Draw us into that. God, may we put aside those things that dim that light. Help us to make a difference, please. Help us to so shine the light. In Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Let's stand, please. It's time for invitation. Many raised a hand this morning saying, pray for me. I hope that you use the altar. I hope that you'll do that. If you'd like to know more about being scripture baptized, why don't you come this morning? Have somebody show you about it. You step out and make your way here. Would you do that today? God spoke to your heart. Would you come? So shine the light. Would you come this morning? So shine that light. You say, Pastor, personal circumstances right now aren't very pleasant. It may not be for you, friend. It may be for somebody around you. It wasn't pleasant for Joseph. But Joseph's so sure. God's like this. God is. You come this morning. Come to be saved. Come to be baptized. Or find out about it. Come to join the church. Come to kneel and just say, Lord, speak to my heart. Thank you. Would you come?